ready for the word?
Yes.
Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for every person here and everyone under the sound of our voice, and we just speak your blessing into their life. Help us to open our hearts and be receptive and sensitive to hear what your word says that you want us to receive. And I pray for that truth and revelation would reign in this house, that every person would receive at least one thing from you today. And we give you praise. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I've been loving this weather. In fact, I was so excited about it getting warm yesterday that I walked in the house and told my wife, I'm grilling some steaks. I didn't even ask. I'm grilling some steaks. I don't know if you had dinner prepared, forget it. I'm grilling some steaks. Went to the store, it was beautiful. How do you not grill? Unless you don't like grilling, then that would be the reason. But for me, I was like, I'm grilling some steaks. So I went and got the stuff I needed from the store and came home and went out to the deck and started cleaning up and getting the grill ready, turn it on and get everything ready. And would you believe that there was this annoying wasp bothering me? I mean, I'm like, is there a nest in the grill? But it was only one. It just kept following me. Just wherever I went, it was following me. I'm like, all right. I don't mind wasps if I have a wasp spray can nearby or if I'm looking to kill a wasp. I mean, that's a fine thing too. But when you have nothing and I'm already doing something else, to spend time dodging a wasp is quite annoying. And so I got the grill up and it's warming up and I'm thinking, oh, I hate this wasp. And as God's my witness, that wasp is flying around and then it just started flying toward the grill. Went toward closer to the grill. A little closer and fell in. Like, thank you, Jesus. The wasp from hell. The grill wasn't for that purpose, but hey, it worked for me that day. So it's problem solved. Say problem solved. Did you know that we're in the time frame for the Jewish calendar, which doesn't affect us too much, but it's always cool to observe this. That this is the Passover season for Israel. And Passover was something that started way back in Moses' day. Now, when you say back in the day, we're talking way back in the day. And the context was that there was a death angel coming through, bringing judgment, killing the firstborn. But God told Moses, have all the Jewish people, all Israel, put blood on the doorpost. And when they put blood on the doorpost, the death angel would pass over. That was the context. Judgment would pass over. When judgment would see the blood, judgment would pass over. We started this series called The Covenant, and a better term is a contract. Most people look at covenant and they think real churchy and Old Testament, and I get that, but that's what the word was used. But we understand contract. You buy a house, you have a contract. You buy a car, you have a contract. There's a contract which defines the terms of what both parties will do. And what's the benefits? What's the boundaries? What's the rules? Like a sports game, if you don't know the rules, you can't win because you'll try everything and it won't work. When you understand what you're supposed to do, what's expected, and what is available in the contract, then you can be bold, you can be strong with those terms because you know, okay, this is the boundaries. You get a job. There's a contract typically. Here's when we're going to pay you. So on payday, if you don't get a paycheck, you know you can call somebody. Is there a problem? The contract said I'm supposed to be paid on the 15th. It's the 20th. I haven't got paid yet. If you don't know the terms, you can wait a long time wondering. But when you know the terms of the contract, you can speak up. And part of the benefits, and we've been going into some of the benefits of the contract, because I'm a firm believer that a lot of Christians don't understand the terms of the contract they have with God, that God created. New Testament means new covenant, which means new contract. On better promises, better standards. If you don't know the terms of the contract, you can accept stuff that was never to happen in your life. You won't know what to stand up against. You won't know what to embrace. But God said, here's the contract. And we've talked about several terms. And the key verse comes out of Revelation, if you remember this verse. And it says, and they overcame him, referring to the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That blood is the key element that redeems and also cuts or starts the contract. The new contract with God is made possible by the blood of Jesus. The new contract with God is not made possible by you, it's made possible by Jesus. And when you understand that, it starts with power. Say power.
Power.
John 10:10 says, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. If you're a good parent and your child's hungry and you keep providing them food because they're saying, I'm hungry, and you keep feeding them and keep feeding them, they're still hungry, and you say, what's wrong? I keep feeding you. Aren't you eating? I can't eat because the bully keeps taking my food. Then you know the problem is not with the provision. The problem is with the enemy. And so to allow God to bring provision, he has brought provision, but most people don't receive the provision because they didn't know that the enemy's been stealing. And so God started off with the contract. It is a contract of power. I won't reteach that today, but you need to know that this contract empowers you. Not to be a victim, but to be a victor. Not to be a weak, but to be strong. Not to be the last, but to be the head and not the tail. Not to be a failure, but to be a winner. The DNA of God that has been placed on the inside of your spirit is for you to occupy, for you to overcome, for you to be greater as he that is in you than he that is in the world. Therefore, you should win in the battles of life. Doesn't mean you have, and maybe you haven't because you didn't know you could or you were designed to. But once you begin to get the identity of that you are a winner and not a failure, then we walk out the process how to use the tools given to you in the contract. We'll bring more of that later. We haven't talked about how to implement that contract in your life. We're just talking about the benefits. Well, today I want to talk about one of the benefits that many Christians know partly of, but not completely, is this concept of forgiveness. We know that when we're saved, we're forgiven. When you do something wrong, you feel convicted, and you need to repent so that you can be forgiven. That comes out of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. That says, when you've sinned, notice this, to confess your sins, and he is faithful, he is just to forgive you, notice, and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. When you repent, God forgives you, and God cleanses you. So when God convinces you, that's what one of the works of the Holy Spirit, to convince people of their sin, that's what we call conviction. You're going to feel bad on the inside. See, you don't need someone to tell you you've done wrong when the Holy Spirit tells you you've done wrong. God doesn't have to discipline you with sickness. That's not of God. We talked about that last week. When he disciplines his children, he is a spirit. He convicts your spirit, your spirit person. And I'm telling you, that conviction of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, if you've ever been there, then you know it seems you're like, I'd rather take a whipping than this. I mean, because the Holy Spirit has a way of dealing with his children to let you know that you're not doing right. But when you repent, it's not an emotion. Let me break some things down. People cry when they repent, but you don't have to cry when you repent. I've seen people cry and they weren't repenting. They were sorry, but they were more sorry they got caught. Anytime someone gets in front of a camera and is crying to the media, and I'm so sorry what I've done. No, you're not. You're sorry because you're embarrassed and you got caught. You were in adultery for 20 years and now you're sorry? Really? See, that's not being sorry. That's being embarrassed. When you repent, it doesn't. I've seen people sin and they come to church on Sunday and they'll weep and they'll cry and they'll, ooh, I feel so much better. No, what has happened is you've had an emotional detox and now you emotionally feel better. And praise God, you emotionally feel better. But if you think that justifies you to go back and live the old lifestyle, then you haven't repented. You just said you were sorry. Thank you. True repentance can be emotional, but doesn't have to be emotional. True repentance is literally, you can say it this way, when you're on the wrong highway, getting off the next exit and turning it around. And some Christians, they don't want to change. They don't want to obey God. I'm not talking about allowing people to control you. That gets crazy in itself. When you start determining your whole eternity on if some person tells you you're right or wrong, are you kidding me? Humanity makes mistakes. I want God to tell me if I'm right or wrong. Because humanity, some are going to say, you got it, you're okay. But on the inside, the Lord's saying, no, you shouldn't be doing that. But Jesus, they told me it was okay. Yeah, but I kept telling you it wasn't. See, when God deals with, I've seen people come and they'll cry. And they go back and do it. That's not repentance. When you repent, it may or may not be emotional. It's getting off and changing directions. How many prayers do you have to pray? If you're going on Highway 70 east and you really should be going west, how many prayers do you have to pray before you're going west? How much money do you have to give in an offering? How many days of fasting do you have to do? How many chapters of the Bible do you have to read before you're going east changes into west? Now here, going to church is good, praying is good, giving is good, witnessing is good. All these things are good, but sometimes people try to do the good thing to override obedience. Well, I've been praying so much, and I've helped three people, because you know you're not living right in the first place. So if you're on the wrong direction, you're on the wrong direction regardless of what you do on the outside. Because the outside works will never change the inside condition. If you're not right with God, you're not right with God. You might be the most benevolent sinner in your neighborhood, but you're still a sinner. Wow, you don't hear that said too often. I mean, just last year, there was a student at a Christian university that complained because in the chapel, they did a message on love, and he felt guilty and complained because it wasn't a safe space. You better be careful of some of the crazy stuff that happens in the world. Thankfully, the president responded back and said, "This is a university, not a daycare. It's a private Christian university. And maybe you need to start looking at yourself to see if you're right, because conviction can be good. Conviction to your spirit is like pain to your body. If you put your hand on something hot, your first reaction should be, ow, that hurt. But it should also tell you, don't do it again." Can I get an amen? There's a balance to this. There's a balance to the truth of God's word. Never go to the extreme. There's a balance. Conviction is good. Condemnation is bad. Conviction comes from God. It will warn you something's not right. Something's not right. I mean, if your engine light on your car starts blinking, something's not right. Something's not right. You don't rebuke the light. You don't tape over and said, "It's not there. It's not there." You might do it, but eventually you keep going down that road. "I don't know what happened. Jesus must not love me today." Jesus loves you all kinds. He warned you for the last 30 days. Change your oil, change your oil, change your oil. If you've been in a car with somebody, they barely have gas. I mean, it's like three fumes. Don't you want to get gas? "Oh, no, we got plenty. We got 5 hours of driving ahead of us." "No, we got plenty." The lights blink. It goes from blinking just a solid. Plenty. Can't blame Jesus when you're on the side road of life, can you? And you're like, I don't, Jesus, what happened? I've been blinking that light for the last 2 days. You've ignored the signal. You've ignored the warning. See, conviction is just a warning. Something's not right here. Something's not right here. And if you're sensitive to God, you'll be thankful for that conviction and say, "Lord, show me." You don't start feeling, "I'm a bad person." No, you just let the Lord show you, because he's just trying to keep you on the right path to have the greatest life that you can ever have and reach the most people you could ever reach and impact your world for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God. But condemnation is wrong. Condemnation's from the enemy. Condemnation tells you you're a bad person. Condemnation devalues you. Condemnation tells you God hates you. Condemnation says God won't answer that prayer. Condemnation will tell you you're not worth it. And we've all experienced condemnation. And we need to know how to handle this so that we can live the way God wants us to live, in victory, in joy, in peace, in confidence. You don't charge the mountain if you're afraid God is angry with you. You won't pray a bold prayer if you feel like God's never going to do it for you. And that's exactly how the devil operates. It was during when Goliath was, if you look at the text, when Goliath was challenging the armies of Israel, and David heard him. Some theologians, because it talked in the text how he would come out certain times of the day. So many theologians believe that he would come out at the time that Israel would be scheduled to pray, because they would pray at certain times of the day. And every time they went to seek God, the giant would show up. Have you ever noticed that he won't bother you? The devil doesn't bother you too much until you start serving God. You start praying. You start seeking God. And when you go to say, "Lord, I got a job opportunity. God, I ask you to help me with that." And the devil says, "He'll never do that for you. You don't deserve it." That's condemnation. And I'm just believing today that when you walk out of this building today, that you will have a new understanding perspective from the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit of God, not by me. You don't need my words. You need God's Word. Don't take anything I say for granted. Challenge everything with the Word of God, because when you dig deeper, you're going to grow stronger. But I decree over your life today that after this moment, you will become a whole nother level person, that you will not live under the weight of condemnation, that you will be free from that, living victoriously, serving God the way He wants and is designed for you to serve Him. Can I get an amen? So when we repent, 1 John 1, 9 says that He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. Say, I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
Another translation says to forgive you and to free you. You're forgiven and you're free from that sin. 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 Look at Romans 6. Romans 6 says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may abound, that grace may increase, is an NIV. See, Paul, by the Spirit of God, knew that in the church world, when people would begin to be exposed to forgiveness and the grace of God, one human tendency for all of us to say, "Woo, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me," and I go back out and do it again. Because I can always, where much sin abounds, much grace abounds. That must mean I can keep sinning and God will keep forgiving because I'm free. And Paul's talking about, do we allow the freedom given to us to enable us to keep going back in sin? You know, you can go to some, watch Christian television, and there's some preachers that will preach, all your sins are forgiven. When what Jesus did on the cross brought forgiveness of all sins, past, present, and future. The blood of Jesus has paid the price of all sins. That's absolutely correct. But then they'll take it one step farther and says, it don't matter what you do once you're saved. It can't touch you because it's already been paid for. Heard one preacher say, so if you committed adultery on Saturday night, you don't need to repent on Sunday morning. Really? Someone needs to read the Bible again. I mean, even in Revelation, when Jesus was talking to his churches, he would encourage them for what they did right and rebuke them for what they did wrong, and from each case tell them to repent. And Jesus was talking to churches, not to sinners. There's something wrong. He's let me fine-tune this. Something's wrong. It's like a car. If you don't fine-tune the car correctly, it won't run properly. It won't run. And eventually, if left to that, things start breaking down. God doesn't want your life to start breaking down. He'll fine-tune you. Let's change it a little bit. You've been doing it this way for a while. It's not letting people dictate and control you because they give you a list. No, 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 no. See, I don't believe in that. I believe that the Holy Spirit is well able. God's called us to catch the fish. The Holy Spirit cleans the fish. And God is well able to develop convictions from His Word and His Holy Spirit in your life. You live your convictions out of that relationship with Jesus. You don't need to live my convictions. They're my convictions. And I'm still growing. We should all still be growing. We should all still be learning. But it's out of a relationship. But when He gives you a conviction, it's not trying to punish you. He's trying to help you, fine-tune you, so that you can run the race of life much better. Yeah. Let's go back to that verse. So Paul's saying, now that we're in this freedom, should we just keep sinning? Verse 2. By no means. Say, by no means.
By no means.
I like the King James translation. It says, God forbid. Either way you look at it, the answer still is, it's not a good idea. Because who you yield yourself to, you become servants to. You keep going back into the pit. See, God delivers you and forgives you from alcoholism. Don't go back hanging at the bar. God delivers you from pornography. Don't go back to those places. Dealt with a dear lady years ago and her teenage son. They had given him his own room in the basement and satellite or cable TV, and he was running up porn bills. They had no idea. And so one of the suggestions I said is, why don't you just stop having cable in your house? Oh, but we like watching TV. I know, your son's gonna like... Well, what would you rather want? Entertainment in your house or your son going to hell? that's amazing what we embrace. All right, moving right along. I see that kind of... Some of you are getting on your phone, canceling your cable right now. Looking at your son, I told you he'd know. God forbid! That means it's not a good idea. God forbid! It's not a good idea. God forbid! God forgives you, and he wants to free you to not have to go back to that lifestyle, go back to that sin, go back to that bondage. It's not, oh, I got to keep, and some Christians, they're just a complete cycle. I repent on Sunday, I sin on Friday. I repent on Sunday, I sin on Friday. I repent on Sunday. You're not repenting. You're just going through emotional motions, and you're imprisoned, feeling better emotionally, still bound. But that's not the plan of your Heavenly Father, whom the Son has set free, is free indeed in the name of Jesus. Revelation, let's throw this verse up. Revelation chapter 1, it says this. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins. To him, referring to Jesus, who has loved us and freed us from our sins by his blood. Say, I'm forgiven. See, a lot of Christians, they'll get that, praise God for the blood of Jesus, my sins are forgiven, but they stop there. They're forgiven, but they keep living in the lifestyle, keep falling in the pit. You keep focusing on what you're trying to avoid, you keep falling into the pit. Let me help you out. In some churches, when you go, all they talk about is sin, 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 and people think sin, 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 and guess what they keep doing? Sin, 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 sin. God doesn't want you to focus on sin, he wants you to focus on him. Set your affection on things above, not things on the earth. Why? Many years ago, I took a BMW driving class. And it was all about how to drive and how to drive fast. So when I speed against, pass you up on the highway, don't, pray for me. And I'm legally can do that now. So hallelujah. No, I'm joking. But one of the things they talked about is whatever you focus on, your car steers toward. And that people have literally ran into cars that are on the side of the road in an accident because they told themselves, avoid the car, avoid the car. And their focus was on avoiding the car, and their hand steered into the car they're trying to avoid. That stuck with me because I thought that applies to us. If you wake up in the morning saying, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, why am I keep sinning? Because that's all you're thinking about. You're free from sin. You're not only forgiven, you're free from it. You don't have to live under the condemnation of, oh, I can't sin. No, 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 you're free to live, not free to avoid. You're free to live, not free to avoid. Some people's lives are all about avoiding something. I'm not saying you can sin. We've already crossed that bridge. I'm not saying you anything goes. We've already talked about that. But some people, it's all about life, about don't do. No, God's called you to do something good, not spend life trying to avoid something bad. When you're running for something good, the bad just kind of disappears in the past. Say, I'm forgiven. Say, I'm forgiven. Say, I'm forgiven. You're not only forgiven, you're free from that. You're free. Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law, the freedom of the Spirit of life has freed you from the law of sin and death. You're free in the name of Jesus. I decree that over your life, that you're not going to live under constant rebellion of the enemy. You're not going to live under the constant cloud of oppression. You're not going to live under the constant cloud of condemnation in the name of Jesus. That when you wake up in the morning, it's not avoiding sin. You're free from it. You're free from it. You're free from it. You're free from it so that you can serve the living God. But I've been in this so long, Pastor, you don't realize I'll never get out. That's what the devil tells you. I don't care if you've been under a drug addiction for most of your life. In the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, I speak the power of God and I break that curse. I come against that curse. I curse that evil power. I curse every demon, every witch, every warlock, everything that's been spoken over against you. I bind it in the name of Jesus. You are free from it, just not forgiven. I call you to be free, free indeed, in Jesus' name. Say, I'm free. I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free.
Woo. Forgiven and free. I'll take this terms of the contract. Say, I'm forgiven. And I'm free. See, I'm forgiven.
I'm
free.
I'm free.
It doesn't stop there. One more thing. You got time for one more thing? Let me show you how free God wants you to be. Hebrews tells us, let's throw this verse up on the screen. Hebrews tells us, chapter 9, how much more? The verse before this says that if in the Old Testament they sacrificed bulls and goats, if the blood of bulls and goats would cover the sins of the people for a year, if that would do it, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Let me break it up this way. Let's just take the first part and last part, put them together. How much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Let me say it this way. Here's what's actually being said. How much more shall the blood of Jesus cut the very remembrance of your past sin so that you can serve the living God? He not only wants to forgive you, he not only wants to free you from that, he wants you to not even remember it. Praise God for all the groups out there trying to help people. But I'm telling you, when you go to AA, they make you stand up and say, hi, my name is Joe, whatever your name is, and I'm an alcoholic. You don't have to do that. No. Forgiven, free, and my past is forgotten. That's powerful. That's powerful. So when the devil reminds you, you can say, I'm sorry, you must have somebody else. That's not me. Oh, so that was me. No, that's the old person. That's not me. Remember what you used to. No, that's not me. I don't remember that one. Can you imagine living your life when you wake up in the morning and the sins of your past, regardless the extremity, the blood is still bigger. The blood is still stronger. The blood of Jesus is still greater than any sin. It doesn't justify your sin, but it eradicates your sin from your life. And you are free. You are forgiven. And you've lived life. You've forgotten the past. Ooh, my goodness. What a joy to live for Jesus. What a joy. What a benefit to live for Jesus. People say, oh, being a Christian is boring. No, it's only boring to the religious. It's not boring to the righteous. I'm not into religion. That's man's rules to get to God. I believe in a real relationship with Jesus. What a joy. What a joy. What a joy. To not have to do stuff to numb yourself, to forget who you are and what you've done and where you're at. What a joy to live life knowing that your past has been dealt with and it doesn't ever come up in front of you anymore, and that you live life clean and right with God, free, forgiven, and the past is forgotten. What a joy. I speak that joy into your life today in Jesus' name. Starting today, you will see a change in your life in Jesus' name. Your everyday life, not just your Sunday, excited, praise the Lord, but your Monday and your Tuesday and your Wednesday. And you're going to wake up one day and you're going to say, what a joy. Remember, when someone says, remember when we did that? You're going to look and say, no, I don't remember that at all. You sure that wasn't with somebody else? I never did that. I never said that with somebody else. You won't even remember it. Think about this. How frustrating is that for the devil, who uses condemnation to keep people back so that you'll never try for anything great, you'll never believe for anything great, you'll never pray for anything great, because the devil's convinced you that you are second rate. And all of a sudden God said, not only will I take care of that, I'll deal with you, won't even remember it. And when you can't even remember it, it totally takes the tool out of the devil's hands. What do we do? What do we do? We try to remember. We try to remind them of who they used to be. They don't even remember anymore. The blood of Jesus defeated us. One more time. It works. It works. You can be free. You can be forgiven. And you can have your past forgotten in Jesus' name. Come on, we're done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Say, I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
I'm free. And my past is forgotten. You say, how do I do it? Do I just, no, don't worry. He does what you can't. You focus on the right thing, he'll deal with the other stuff. He does. It's not a matter of, I don't. He does what only he can do. He does what only he can do. It's amazing. This is not religion. This is not just a ritual. This is not just trying to be a better person. This is the real deal, the power of God coming to your life and changing you, where all of a sudden you begin to experience that freedom and that liberty in such an amazing way. Oh, maybe this stuff that Pastor Greg has been talking about is true. Maybe this is real. Maybe I can be free. Oh, it feels so good not to have a bad past you're trying to drag around. Some of you have been dragging around your dead past. Like, oh, sometimes it's a struggle. It's because all that extra weight you're dragging around. Sometimes you got to let it go and walk on. The Bible says to lay aside not only the sins, but the weight that would hold you back. Some of your past, that condemnation, the tactic of the devil to devalue you, to tell you that you'll never be where you used to be. You'll never reach where God wanted you to be. You'll never reach that because, oh, you've blown it now. That's the lie of the devil. You've been dragging that weight around, whipping yourself, condemning yourself, telling yourself that's right. See, Jesus has already forgiven you. You got to forgive yourself. You say, but I don't think I deserve it. No, you don't. None of us do. But good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people do. You got to come to the place and say, Lord, I don't think I deserve this, but it's your call. And he goes, thank you for letting me do what I can do. It is my call, and I forgive you. Free, free, free. Some of you have been carrying all kinds of weights. Things that you've done, things you've seen, things you've been exposed to. I just free you in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, there's people, that I'm not here to condemn you or draw attention to you. I'm just picking this. Some of you have had abortions and you have never forgiven yourself over it. I free you in the name of Jesus. I free you in the name of Jesus. You'll not have to carry that weight anymore. I'm not justifying or condoning or condemning. I'm just telling you, you're free from that. You've lived life saying, I'll never be accepted. God will never love me because of what I've done. I'm telling you, there's stuff that you could have done in your past. When you repent, he forgives you. He frees you. And it'll get to where you don't remember the very past of your failures. I free you in the name of Jesus. You might have been addicted to drugs for years. I free you in the name of Jesus. Praise God for counseling, but I'm telling you, there's something better and greater than counseling. It's the power of God and the truth of God's word. I free you in the name of Jesus. Amen.